10 o'clock hour, although it feels like the 11 o'clock hour, of Wilde and Tausch on our 8th anniversary begins now. And I wanted to circle back, Jesse, to our poll question yesterday, because as has often happened on this show in our 8 years of existence, there's an idea of what we're going to talk about, and then there's what we actually end up talking about. And the Ayuk conversation yesterday about Brandon Ayuk and the possibility of him being traded and everything else led to a very interesting poll question. Tell us what that was and how the polling played out.
Yeah, the poll question on Twitter at Wilde and Tausch: which team do you believe will win more games this year, the Packers or the 49ers? 57% say the Green Bay Packers.
Why didn't you ask me before? There's nothing I enjoy more than predicting polls.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's been a while. We haven't had a good poll question in a while.
Our polls have sucked lately. I agree.
Twitter's not what it used to be, thanks to your guy Elon.
So 57% say Packers, 43% say 49ers. Is that actually indicative of what you think people believe?
So,
or do you think that's Packers?
No, it's green and gold glasses.
Yeah, it's green and gold colored glasses, but I'm telling you right now, I think when you look at this thing big picture and you start looking at schedules and things like that, I think San Fran is, there's more fragility.
Bring your own awareness.
Than I think people recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Green Bay, yes, I know there's some question marks and there's some things. Young and hungry is a tough. Young and hungry is a good place to be in the NFL. Young, hungry, and just a little bit of scarring. You're not overly scarred. You got a little scarring that you can kind of lean in, but you don't have any sutures or anything. Hungry, and a little scarred is the wheelhouse of what management wants an NFL team to be.
Isn't that a song in Hamilton? Young, hungry, and just a little bit scarred? No, different song. So what was it, 57%? That's a lot.
Correct.
That's a lot of Packers believers, that's for sure.
57 to 43.
All right, we'll see. All comes down to who stays healthy, and if Christian Watson can stay healthy, which we need to talk about that at some point during today's program. But before that, you may have looked through green and gold colored glasses. I don't need to look through orange colored glasses to know how great Johnson & Sons paving is.
No, and summer is here, and before you know it, you're going to be prepping for winter. Johnson & Sons paving wants to make sure you're ready by remembering those three R's of parking lot and asphalt maintenance. Reseal every 2 to 3 years. Repair when you see signs of cracking or potholes. And replace if there's constant standing water, warping, buckling, or sinking. Don't scare those customers or tenants with a bad parking lot. Connect with Johnson & Sons today to fix those minor repairs before they become huge headaches. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com right now to schedule an appointment.
I can't believe after how yesterday's clip that Jesse misidentified or oversold from Up and Adams, that he's going to try and play another clip.
I think if Evan asked again, I'd say, what was the low point in the show? I think I might go back to yesterday morning when Jesse's trying to do it. I think that might have been it.
We're coming back with a strong one today.
It's still having one of the all-time great, the goats of supermodels on our show, and it being an abject failure. Like, the kind of conversation you would dream to have. You have Cindy Crawford on the show, and it is a complete you-know-what show. So, instead, we'll try to keep this from being a you-know-what show when we hear from Jordan Love on Up and Adams next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Sense of
I'm nervous. Like, it wasn't the lowest point of our show. It might have been. It was definitely the lowest point of the show yesterday. But Jesse, bringing back a clip, and this is nothing against Kay Adams, or she does a great job on her non-TV TV show. It's great. But our execution of that clip was poor yesterday. I recommend skipping over that portion of the program when you listen to the podcast on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app or on YouTube. But what makes you think that this will bring a different result before you play this?
Well, you can't play.
You listen to the clip.
I listened.
Did you actually listen?
I listened to the one yesterday, too.
Okay.
But
no, you didn't.
You can't play scared. You got to get back on the horse when something doesn't go poorly. Otherwise, you're just going to always be in a bad spot.
Can you just admit you didn't listen to the clip yesterday?
I listened to the clip yesterday.
I don't think you did. I don't think it had.
I think this is an interesting clip that we're about to hear because we have not talked much about Jordan Love's leadership style as the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, and Kay Adams asked him about that yesterday. And I'm curious if what you have observed, Jason, is what Jordan Love says his approach is to it. So I think we're going to have a good little topic out of this.
I'll believe it when I hear it.
When I saw the individual handshake thing and I was watching him out here today, I thought that's part of his leadership style, him having individual relationships with these players. Did you read a book? Did you go to a master class? Because flying out of everyone's mouth is Jordan Love the leader.
No, definitely not. I think it's just, you know, it's you go along throughout your, you know, career and you kind of just pick up things from other people, learn as you go. So I've definitely, you know, been blessed to be able to see some you know, vet guys that have been here in the league, been doing it for a long time, just the way they lead and the relationships they have with people and how they go about their business. So I've been able to see that and just kind of grow my own leadership style and just be myself out there and build some of that stuff into it.
In one sentence, like on a poster, if it said Jordan Love leadership, like in a locker room, what is it saying as far as how do you define that?
Oh, I think I'm fun. You know, I try to be out there, be one of the guys and just have a good time. You know what I mean? You know, you can't take it too serious out there. You got to have a little fun.
Tausch, was that everything you'd hoped it would be?
Jesse, just for my own, what was I hoping to get from that?
He describes his leadership style as fun. Hey, okay, fine, I'm going to do what Evan did. I'll take over this segment to make it. Hey, Tausch, was Aaron Rodgers' leadership style fun back in the day when you were his teammate?
So at the time in Aaron's career, he was finding himself, and I think the biggest leadership step that he took when I played with him was when he found a way to play against the Atlanta Falcons with a bum up shoulder, mm-hmm. and he found a way to go out there and play well, mm-hmm. and that's when I think a lot of us old heads were like, we knew he was a real talented cat, we knew, you know, all the things that were written and all that stuff, but you got to show it. And you're going to ask guys to play dinged up. He went out and did it. That was that first big step in his process for me as a, at that point, 8 or 9 or 10 year vet, whatever it was. So all that other stuff, fun, it's not the word I would use. I think what he is demanding, and I think, but he had those same demands of himself. And leadership is always going to be you better be who you are. And when you start trying to be somebody else, I love that Jordan said, I pick up on things from other players. I would love for Kay Adams to ask, what did you learn from Aaron and what did you learn you didn't want to do?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a real interesting follow-up. So I think fun, you know, being one of the guys, the big thing that you have to do at quarterback is understand who needs a kick in the keister and who needs a pat on the keister. Because that's the handshake thing that they are talking about was more about understanding who these guys are, not just on the field, but who they are off the field. That's why those things are so important, because it ain't going to be fun all the time. There's going to be times when a quarterback is going to tell you, get your blank moving, this ain't good enough. That's what that comes down to. So fun and all that. I think Jordan is still finding his leadership, finding how he wants to go about his business, because he's still figuring things out. He doesn't have all the answers. And I think that's what that's what I took from that. So I think it was an interesting clip. Is it as interesting as you thought? Probably not.
Yeah, look, I don't. Jordan has never led me. And so I am always cautious to say how someone is as a leader, because I don't truly know. I know what other people tell me. I know what I observe in terms of what they allow us to see. But I don't think fun is a leadership style. I think fun is a component of connecting with your teammates. Mm-hmm. Because fun is not always, you can't always have fun. Leadership is something you always have to exhibit at that position. And if we're being fair about Aaron Rodgers, I think his leadership style and his effectiveness got a bum rap early in his career. Because, yes, do I personally want him, if I am his wide receiver, throwing his arms up in the air or giving me the death stare on the field? I don't. That goes back to Tausch's very salient point, which is some need a kick in the ass and some need an arm around their shoulder. And I want...
I think I said pat on the keister.
I did. I'm giving you my version of it. Which has always been my version of it, because I don't want to steal your materials.
You quoted me, though, so you quoted me, so that's why I thought.
I said your point that you made, I believe, if you want to go back on the audio, doesn't mean I have to quote you directly, because I do quote you on a regular basis, especially when I try to double dip on stories in the State Journal. My point is that fun is not a leadership style. Fun is a component of your personality. And I don't know how fun he is, because I haven't seen a whole lot of examples of what a fun guy he is. I think what he is two things. I think he's authentic. I think he is who he is, which sometimes is a little bit boring, sometimes isn't sexy, but I think he's authentic, and I think he genuinely cares. He's caring about his teammates. Like, I do think that he cares deeply about them, and I think that is a quality that resonates with those guys, especially ones who felt toward the end of Aaron Rodgers' time that he didn't really care about them. Like, I use Romeo Doubs as the example every time, and I have said this to Aaron Rodgers directly, so it's not, I'm not saying this behind his back, but when Romeo Doubs said to us in training camp last year, I learned a lot from Aaron, even with him barely speaking to me. I texted the former quarterback because I thought this was something, hey, you need to know that this is out there, because it's, I'm going to write it. Everyone's going to write it. And I would say, without putting too much of the conversation on the street, that he was a little bit defensive about that, about how often he had lunch with Romeo and how often he talked with him. And my point to him was, and again, I don't claim to be the expert at leading a football team, God knows, but if Romeo Doubs thinks you didn't spend enough time with him, then you didn't spend enough time with him. Or if he thinks you didn't talk to him enough, then you didn't talk to him enough. And that's your job as the leader, is to read that.
Yeah.
And I think he did that very well for a very long time. And because of his on-field shenanigans, people thought he was a lesser leader than he actually was. Because if you look back, the people who were critical of him were always the same ones. JerMichael Finley and Greg Jennings. And I think if you talk to guys like Lucas Patrick and a lot of other guys through the years, they would tell you that he was empathetic and caring and a really good leader. Toward the end, I don't think there were people that felt that way. And frankly, Tausch, there were young guys, Darren College, that kind of crew, that toward the end with Favre felt the same way about him and felt about Rodgers the way these guys feel about Love.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly Nick Saban's quote about, you know, what guys remember, but they remember how you make them feel.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is a great quote, and I don't know the entirety of the quote, so I'm not going to try to fake like I do. But the quarterback, everybody looks at them in a wide-eyed way. And I don't think there's any doubt, especially now that Jordan has established himself. He just got paid in big ways. Players look to them for leadership. They need to provide it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Jordan – last year was a blur for Jordan, too.
Agreed.
You're going to lead the team because you're the quarterback, but you don't really know what the hell's even going on at that point. You're trying to figure out how I can get a first down. You're not looking big picture as the quarterback.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Looking at it like, I got to be better. I got to do this, this, this. Now, all of a sudden, I think he's had the off season. He is a – there is no doubt in my mind. He is an incredibly respected guy in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And – is going to be counted on. How is he going to react when Dontavian Wicks is pissed because he ain't getting enough balls?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to find ways to get him the ball? Is he going to sit down and say, you need to do this better? Like, that's what this is going to be. Or if, you know, his left tackle's struggling, are you going to, you know, figure out, well, how can I get him to play better? How do I make sure he knows how important he is to what we're doing? And I think Jordan's going to be really good at that. But I don't think his leadership has been tested yet. That's going to be this year. There's mm-hmm. going to be some bumps in the road.
And to your point, I was just going to say,
Green Bay Packers front office feels like he's going to handle it really well because he's wired the right way. But you still have to go do it. And that will be one of the big things, the storylines that come from this season is going to be his growth as that leader, because he's going to, I don't know, you know, vocally and all that. I've never really cared as much about that. It's more about when you need to say something, will you do it?
Mm-hmm.
And do you understand what your team needs when it needs it?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a high confidence level that Jordan will be able to do that.
And to your point from earlier, like, let's use Rashid Walker, and I don't know what the answer is to this, but I think I do. If Rashid Walker's playing well, poorly, how does Jordan Love go about motivating him? I would say that last year, the juxtaposition of the two guys that were in position to be the left tackle, you had to know how to treat each one of them. And Rashid Walker, I think, from what Jordan has said and others have said, is perfectly fine with you chewing his ass out and motivating him that way. Yash Nyman, I would say, didn't respond very well to that. He needed, yeah. I think Yash and I are both, if you tell us we are disappointing you and letting you down, that is the best motivation for us. Screaming and yelling at me and telling me how much I suck does not make me want to do better for you. You tell me that I've let you down and I need more from you because you're important and we need you to win and you got to play better so you're not disappointing me. That's what works. And the great leaders know the difference. And I think for most of his career, 12 did. And I think this is the test for Jordan Love. That and one other thing. I do want to know if he can have the hard conversations. Maybe he's had them. They are obviously behind closed doors that I'm not privy to. But that is the hardest part of being a leader. It's easy to lead when everything's going well and you don't have to chew anybody out. Or you don't have to really get after anyone. The challenge is when things are going poorly and you are in that position, are you able to do it?
Yep.
And we'll find out. All right. In fairness to Jesse, who takes a lot of grief on this show, it was a good topic. It was a bad clip, though. It's a bad clip. Don't take a victory lap for your bad clip.
Nah, I'm taking a victory lap. That was awesome.
I know. There's no telling you not to take a victory lap. That much I know.
I didn't even get to ask Tausch about Favre's leadership style. You know, all I did was ask about Rodgers, and look what happened. That was fun.
Tausch, tell us about Quick Trip so we don't have to listen to Jesse brag about what a great topic that was.
Man, would you just look outside. The summer weather, it is here, and that means I'm getting out the grill as much as I can. Sure, you got the regular, like, burrs and dogs, which, of course, you can get at your local Quick Trip. But you know where my bread is buttered?
Grassland Dairy.
Love brats. Love getting them on the grill and hearing that sizzle right on it. Get over to Quick Trip right now and get your brats. 5-count package of brats from the Quickery. just $2.99. Five brats for $3. That's a steal. And you know what? Pair the brats with fresh brat buns from the Quickery as well, and you can enjoy. Stop in today. Order ahead. Use your Quick Rewards app. Pick up the order in store or get it brought out curbside. Brats and buns can be in your hands like that. Can already taste that sizzle with that good mustard. But wait, there's more. Because the Quick Trip with Quick Trip, there's always more deals. Get jumbo onion, baking potatoes,
onions,
or bananas for just 29 cents a pound. Nature's Touch block cheese, 2 for $4. Assorted Don's pizzas, 4 for $10. 12-ounce coffee and smoothie drinks for just $1.49. And you can get Dunkers to go with it, 6 for $2.99. All of these deals and more right now at your local Quick Trip. I stopped yesterday on the way back from Platteville. They had the chicken tender deal going on. I got a big gulp on my way back to download that Quick Rewards app.
It's a big buddy.
And sign up to earn big buddies, they call them.
Or okay? Little buddies.
Sign
big
up
buddy.
To earn the rewards on each trip if you may. If I may. All of these deals and more right now at your local Quick Trip. Get that app. I love that app. I love that app. It's been great. Saving money all over the place. Buying all kinds of stuff. It is the best app going. Again, download the Quick Rewards app today.
That app's been your little buddy.
It has been. My big
I'm
buddy
sorry.
And my little buddy.
We're on a show now because that was that long that he talked about Quick Trip. We'll do it again tomorrow. Take care. Be good. What in the world? Oh,
what?
That app. I love that app. Oh,
well, I do.
When you said you get brats, like, it didn't sound like it was that easy to get the brats.
I snapped my fingers like that.
I think my favorite part of the app is that if you've played the Summer Cash Grab already and then you open the app to the Summer Cash Grab again, it says, "Oop, you've already played today." Oop. Which I get a kick out of. We have other things we would like to discuss, including perhaps my favorite story of camp so far, for however long it's going to last. I'll tell you what that is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I love a good story, and that is what Alex Hale is. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But I am not at practice today. Today is a closed-to-the-public practice, open to the media, but because it's closed to the public, I don't think they wanted me broadcasting everything. I'm not sure what exactly we're keeping under wraps. Big game plan for the Browns, maybe.
Running those reverse punts today, huh?
But Christian Watson, after a scare yesterday, is indeed practicing. I want to get to that because every time I watch him, he is a field-tilting unicorn player. But I also think about the big box that the leg lamp arrives in A Christmas Story with the big fragile written across the front of the box. So we'll get to Christian Watson coming up. But first, Tausch... You know, I tweeted out the story. My buddy Jeff over at the State Journal tracked it down in the archives, put it on the interweb of the story about you at the Kentucky Derby. It ran in the State Journal the day of your first NFL start, and that is one of the all-time great stories. Jim Huber with his line, I started coaching right around the time of Christ, which... He had a very long career. I'm not sure it was quite that long. But those are the stories that make this job cool for me. And you obviously built yours into an 11-year NFL career. I don't think that'll be the case with Alex Hale. He is just starting his journey. And as he admitted, probably the next couple of weeks will only be the beginning. But maybe he somehow wins the kicking job. And this kid from Australia, who was a wake skater... and a soccer player, and then just showed up in San Diego to want to learn how to kick so he could become an NFL kicker is now in the NFL for however long it lasts. But Tausch, heartwarming stories aside, what does it tell you that there's another kicker here? Tells me that neither Anders Carlson nor Greg Joseph has proven to be the answer. And we're starting to get to the point where you'd really like to know that he's, or one of them, is the answer.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm sick and tired of talking about kicking. You had a Jordan Love fatigue with the contract. Wake me up when we have a kicker in Brazil. Like, I understand the intrigue of it, and Alan Hale and Gilligan and Thurston Howell and the professor and Marianne. You get the whole crew. Great. It's a great story that you got right, and then you get to write this down. But somebody step up and take hold of this job, because the Green Bay Packers are a Super Bowl contending team. And it's abundantly obvious to this guy that Brian Gutekunst and Bisaccia and everybody else does not feel like they have a Super Bowl caliber kicker on their roster as we sit here. So it's an unfortunate deal. Hopefully somebody will step up, but it is an important spot. It is a game. It's a season changing spot when you don't have the guy. And right now they don't have the guy because Alan Hale, exhale, whatever Hale, hail to
hail
the victors.
Storm.
Well, West if we Alice get a kicker Hale in place that we
Nathan
feel
Hale
better about, maybe. But right now, it's just the storyline is driving
me nuts. Until
Hale
freezes over. Don't look now, but you just talked kickers. I hate to tell
you. I understand. You brought it up.
No,
I'm kicked out.
If you didn't want to do this, Jesse literally sent the text that said, let's do the Aussie kicker story next. You had every opportunity to say, nah, I'm good.
No, no, no. Jason, you're not understanding.
You're right.
It is an important story.
I'm not understanding.
It's an important storyline of training camp. Uh-huh. I knew it would be. But I was hoping by this time, hey, we love both these guys. Whoever wins this competition is taking the job. That's what I hoped for. That's what I thought would happen. That's not the case. It is unusual for us to keep bringing in a third kicker because I don't know what we got. Why don't we get rid of one of these two and bring somebody else in to compete with that? If you're this unhappy, why do we keep recycling these two at the top if we know we don't like them?
Why it's so hard to find a kicker? It's not unusual to have three kickers.
It is very difficult.
Da, 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 da,
it's
da, da,
very
da.
Difficult.
Come on! It's a great song! It's not unusual to have foot problems on special teams. No?
It's unusual for Green Bay to be having this many kicking issues at this point. It's once every 10 or 15 years is what it's been.
You're still talking
here
about
we
kickers.
Are.
I don't understand. I don't.
How do you win a kicking competition?
Make
more
kicks.
Like, when does it end?
It's not that hard,
when do you determine that? Like, in preseason
games count?
You
asked the question, not me.
Do training camp practices count? Or those? Does inside versus outside count? Like, when
so
can Jesse, like,
it's a vibe. I think it's a vibe. It's
who?
It's a trust. Yeah, Jesse. It's a trust thing. And right now, there ain't any trust.
Oh.
There's no confidence as far as what they're doing. And I don't think there's some magic potion or magic kicker out there that you're going to say, all right, our problems are solved. Here we go. And that's where we're at. So I think from a Packer fan standpoint, I don't know, maybe I'm in the minority. Maybe people eat this up. Maybe people can't wait to hear, oh, Anders Carlson was 5 out of 5 today. I think he pulled into the lead on Greg Joseph. Well, that's not what's happening. And I, for one, am kind of sick of it and kind of tired of talking about it and kind of tired of the whole deal. But I understand why it's important, because there is a good chance – one of these guys, or whomever it's going to be kicking, is going to determine whether or not this team wins the division, or it gets to be a 1 or a 2 seed because they make or miss kicks. And right now, nobody has any confidence, just like at the end of last season when Green Bay was moving the football before Jordan Love threw the pick, did anybody think Anders Carlson was going to knock a 45-yard field goal to tie the football game? I didn't.
I did.
And you know who else? You did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're full of baloney.
He didn't miss back-to-back kicks. He only missed back-to-back kicks once all year.
You want to put $5 down that he was going to make that kick.
Well, that's because I don't wager.
Believe that.
Tausch is fatigued. Tausch is tired. He's exhausted by this kicker talk. Well,
tired,
you know what he needs.
That's from getting up at 4:30 to go musky fishing. But
you know what he needs? He needs an all-new Tempur-Pedic Adapt mattress at Steinhoff. Expertly engineered if you're grumpy after getting up early to go fishing with, who is it again? Klutzy?
Klutzy?
Klutzy.
That's a low blow. That is a low blow.
Does sound like it.
I was just trying to get that joke in there. I'm sorry. I saw Klutzy. I'm sorry. I just thought it might be funny, and I think it was. But if you're exhausted by kicker talk, by early morning fishing, they're expertly engineered with the most advanced pressure-relieving materials to make aches and pains and your fatigue a thing of the past. Get the new Tempur-Adapt for only $52 a month when you use Steinhoffel's 60-month financing. Plus, you get $300 in Steinhoffel's cash. There's nothing like a great night's sleep on a new Tempur-Pedic from Steinhoffel's. Start sleeping better tonight, like Matt LaFleur will once he figures out who his kicker will be. Shop in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. We'll get to Christian Watson's fragility and concerns about him and more next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
We'll get to Christian Watson to kick off the 11 o'clock hour, which should have already started. Jesse, what's going on in the YouTube comments or on the text line?
Neil in Florida on the text line, which I don't have it ready, so I'm just going to have to read it to you.
N-E-I or N-E-A?
N-E-I-L. Good morning, guys.
More sophisticated Neil. Neil Armstrong.
Didn't know you had, like, first of all, I didn't know there was another way to do Neil than
Mike
N-E-I-L.
Neil. Curly Neil.
Neil says,
Shemp okay. Neil.
Good morning, guys. Right. I have to disagree with you on how his teammates felt about Aaron Rodgers. If players were in Aaron's circle of influence or he liked you, all was good. If you were in trouble, he treated many teammates poorly. He didn't respect most rookies regardless of their potential. Was up at practice yesterday. This is Neil from Florida, Arkansas, and Wisconsin when visiting family. So Neil's a man of many places. What do you think of his Aaron Rodgers take on respecting some, not all players and no rookies?
Now, I think he had expectations that were high for everybody. And it just so happened the people that met them, he probably got along with better, and I think that happens in a lot of walks of life. But to act as if he wasn't, especially in the middle part of his career, someone that was trying to build people up and help them, I think Neil's point at the end of the career, he didn't have a ton of time and patience for young players. That, I think, was a misstep by him.
We've said that a million times here.
That's not something new. That's something that he's done. I think he's made a point to do differently in his new spot. Whether or not he has success with it, we'll find out. But nobody has said that he doesn't have flaws. Nobody. Not on this panel.
All right, I'm going to be a little harsher in my critique, and I don't like to do that to people that are loyal to our show, especially from various different places. But, Neil, if I have to acknowledge that I don't know for certain what kind of leader he was, and I talked to him and to players that were led by him, both good and bad, that they had to say, how the hell do you know? I mean, I'm not a huge fan of speaking authoritatively about
that is,
him
that
as a leader.
That is for true. He does not. I agree with your assessment of yourself.
Or about Neil's statement.
Or like, making predictions.
Yeah, I'm not in the prediction business. I'm not a prognosticator. Look, Neil's point is exactly what I was trying to make earlier. Maybe I didn't do it effectively. But the critique of his leadership late in his career to say what Neil said is fair. Again, I just got done doing the example with Romeo Doubs. And I told you what I said to him specifically after Romeo said what he did to us. But to act like he was some sort of crappy leader throughout his time is just inaccurate. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just people in his circle, because frankly, Lucas Patrick as a backup offensive lineman was not in his circle. And then they had pancakes. So he deserves the criticism. And here's the biggest thing you know about Aaron Rodgers is that he sucks at admitting that he was wrong. He's one of those people that admits he is wrong by how he behaves. And his behavior with the Jets last year and being there for the entire offseason program and working so hard to connect with all their young players was a tacit admission that his last year in Green Bay, he didn't do a good enough job. He was literally the opposite person. So if that is Neil's critique of him, it is fair for that year.
He Costanza'd it. He George Costanza'd it when he was in the diner, and that hot young lady was sitting there, and he changed his order.
Did the opposite.
And he did the opposite of what, yes.
My
the
name is Aaron, and I don't live with my parents.
Correct.
All right, Tausch, if you were doing the opposite, you would say that you like your mountains on your Coors Light to be still gray and not blue. Mm-hmm. But I know
I like
you're not going to say that.
Baby blue, that's when you know it's chilled to perfection. Coors Light, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's made to chill. Oh, look at that. Look at that on
sweet
the screen.
Bacon,
the mountains
bro.
Are just piping blue. That's when it is chilled to perfection. That's why it is Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company out there in Golden, Colorado.
The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.